Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Third hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Joe Rex Road here, Big Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, and very excited to bring in our next guest, friend of the show, friend of mine for a long time, one of the best reporters writing sports in this country, Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. Nicole, how are you today?
I am doing just fine. How are you guys?
Great, and it's been a nice low-key off-season again for you, I see. So you've got your latest piece at The Athletic. ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 are publicly committed to each other. So what's next for the alliance? Just, Nicole, your overall assessment of what this is. I thought that there were some comments yesterday where it felt like some people getting some anger off their chest a little bit, taking a little bit of a shot about trust and looking each other in the eye and things like that. So it feels like that was a little bit a part of it, but I know that's not the foundation of this. What do you think of this? What does it mean?
Yeah, I do think, the reaction to it is pretty interesting because, you know, as someone who had been reporting on it for a couple weeks, I was expecting it to be fairly vague. I mean, I was told not to get my hopes up about the scheduling piece being nailed down with, you know, a lot of game contracts to figure out. So the fact that it was pretty vague and it was about just, hey, we're taking this leap of faith together and we are going to be on the same side of this. We're drawing a line in the sand and we're on this side, the SEC is on the other. That is what I was expecting. I mean, it was not going to be, you know, a super conference of everybody, you know, suddenly working together and contractually tied to each other. But I think it was really interesting with what it sets up. I mean, we obviously have to see if this works and if they do vote together. And we're actually going to get a glimpse of this playoff expansion very soon. I mean, the group of presidents, the board of managers related to the CFP is supposed to meet at the end of September. If this group is able to delay this and say, hey, we want to take this thing to an open market in 2026, we want to get Fox, NBC, CBS, streaming services, we want other broadcast partners, we want them to commit to covering college football, we're worried ESPN can just dictate everything in the sport. If they're able to do that, that is a significant win for the alliance. I know that it's not as exciting as talking about Michigan playing USC or Clemson, Ohio State, or whatever it might be, but there are going to be some of that behind-the-scenes working, maneuvering, stuff like shaping the NCAA when they go through this constitutional convention. Stuff like that is going to be pretty significant. If they're able to actually make changes by actually being a voting bloc, then it's really worked. And then the scheduling piece is for fun. But I think so many people got caught up in they didn't sign anything and they can't announce anything about the scheduling because it's too complicated. Without looking at the bigger picture here, which is still a big deal that they publicly went out and said, like, hey, we're over here and the SEC is over there.
So, it kind of feels like, you know, those conferences and, like you said, Fox and other networks who want to get involved, and versus the SEC and ESPN, kind of. I mean, is that too simplistic?
Yeah. It's a little simplistic, but I think that's fair. I think, I'm not sure how much of this happens if you don't have, if without the context of ESPN, the SEC just, signed this massive deal, and they're adding Texas and Oklahoma, and you know that Greg Sankey was involved in crafting the playoff, you know, proposal, that they rushed out, that they want fanfare, that they know fans will want to implement soon, which would then have to be negotiated with ESPN in their exclusive window. So it's all tied together. I don't think if all those things are happening, I think the dynamic is different. But I think, Joe, we've talked about this before, but like part of what is important in a system of college sports where it is pretty decentralized, you don't have a commissioner, you don't have a centralized governing body, is like I think it's really important that you have checks and balances and that you have foils. Like for so long it was Jim Delaney and Mike Flagg. They were checking each other constantly, right? But that was healthy. That was good for college sports to have different influential voices and power coming from different regions and different people in parts of the country. And so I think you've been missing that with so much turnover at the Power Five commissioner level, the Big 12 vacuum right now. And Greg Sankey, you know, again, we just listed off all the things he's accomplished in the last, 8 months. You know, he personally is consolidating power in this landscape. And so I think if it takes three new commissioners to do it together because they don't have the clout or the power on their own, it's still good. You still need checks and balances and people pushing back on different things instead of letting one region of the country or one person make all the decisions, just because that's not how college sports have ever operated. We've gone down, like, you know, the Big East used to be a power conference, used to have more independence, like, used to have even more of that power dispersed throughout the country and more voices and influence. And so I think that ultimately that's what this is about. It's about creating balance, having a foil, and just sort of checking things, because this is still such a regional sport where things are prioritized differently or run differently in different parts of the country. And if you're all going to still be under the same umbrella, you do need people pushing back on different things and representing those interests in different parts of the country.
Woo! Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. This is the other Joe in studio today. That's a fantastic answer. Nicole, let me ask you this. The NCAA has been awfully quiet. Have they said anything? Have I missed something coming out from the office of the NCAA? Because what I've gathered, I've heard nothing about their reaction to any of this.
No, they have not said anything. The most we've been getting out of the NCAA lately is their stuff about the Constitution Convention, where they're saying, hey, we're going to blow up our model and modernize it, and this is all our idea, and definitely not because the Supreme Court is making us do this. So they are focused on that they have a very, like, short timeline to try to get new proposals out about, again, like, just how they set up their governance model. And we'll see what happens there. But that is a really important backdrop to this because, again, I don't think some of the power grabs and the power vacuum issues happen if you have the NCAA stronger. But it's never been weaker. It's never been more fragmented. And they're coming off of that 9-0 ruling against them from the Supreme Court, where basically the Supreme Court said, like, hey, you can't just do things arbitrarily. You're subject to antitrust law just like everybody else. So that's why, you know, they're going to blow up this thing and decentralize more because, you know, kind of the way NIL is, because that's what they were told they have to do or they're going to keep getting sued. So with all that as the backdrop, then you have, the SEC making its moves, and you have the alliance being formed because there isn't that leadership or sense of, togetherness or anything that comes from the NCAA right now. And obviously so many people are, you know, very over Mark Emmert's leadership, so that doesn't help either. But the entity itself and the structure itself is being reformed, which also creates that vacuum.
So with the Big 12, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving eventually, so you left those other teams in there. Will they find homes? I mean, somebody's got to grab Oklahoma State, right?
I don't know at this point. I think that's the big question. You know, I've kind of been keeping an eye on that all along, is what's next for those eight teams. I think, you know, when you talk to people in those leagues, people oscillate between feeling pretty good that they'll stay together and then potentially add, you know, try to go for Cincinnati, UCF, whoever. But then you also have, like, they're still trying to do what's best for their school, and there's still, like, dream landing spots. I mean, if the West Virginia were able to convince the ACC to be interested in them, like, that would be perfect for them. So, like, there's some of that, but I think, you know, again, if the alliance is formed, those leagues saying, hey, we don't want to expand, we want to get the benefits of some conference expansion, getting to play and recruit in other areas, but not add a full member. And if Texas and Oklahoma, like, if the rest of the Big 12 says, hey, we're going to hold you to this and we're going to keep you till 2025, that should stabilize things for a bit. I mean, it, you know, then no one would need to necessarily act in a rash manner, and you could see what happens for those remaining eight. But, you know, if they're not able to go, like, if people are not interested in them individually or as a block because they don't bring enough value to slice up the pie somewhere else, then they are going to be stuck on their own and either, you know, try to, you know, build up by adding the top group of five programs, or it's just going to splinter further. But, like, either way, it's not a great situation, and I think it was probably a pretty challenging day yesterday to see the alliance officially announced, because I know a lot of people in that league were upset that they weren't included in it in the first place, and then to see it and to not really have any good answers about why the Big 12 was left out, except basically that they were too unstable. You know, it's just a tough look. I mean, they're just floating in the wind, and there's some really great football programs in that league. There's really great basketball programs in that league, and there's just not much they can do on their own right now.
Yeah, I mean, you had a part in your piece where Jim Phelps was like, yeah, we want and need the Big 10 or the Big 12 to do well, and they matter. And then it's like sort of like, yeah, good luck, guys. hope everything works out for you.
We'll send you a card.
Yeah. So spinning forward then, Nicole, on this, last thing for you, in terms of, first of all, like you said, this is a checks and balances situation that was probably needed if it works out the way they hope. Do you think, though, that there still needs to be, and will there be any kind of movement for, I mean, it's been talked about forever, like the idea of a sport commissioner or, you know, something else that would serve as a someone to bring everyone together? And then also, like, do you think that, you know, Sankey, like, this is like irreconcilable differences, you know, with Sankey and some of these other commissioners at this point based on what happened? I mean, the argument on his side is, well, someone else was probably going to do this, so I won.
Right,
and that's
right.
What I'm paid to do. But how do you think that looks moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, these people are going to have to continue working together. You know, they have Power 5 calls, they have FBS calls, they have playoff calls. I don't even know if it's necessarily that Texas and Oklahoma jumped to the SEC piece, because I think that argument that if they had called the ACC or the Big Ten, they would have taken them too. It's more, I think, looking back on the playoff expansion working group, knowing that Greg Sankey and Bob Boldsby were sitting together working on that, and yep, he knew that he was in conversations with Oklahoma and Texas. So that's the part where, like, other people in college sports are, when they say stuff about, like, it's volatile, there's no trust, like, people are concerned about the direction of where it's going, it's that piece, instead of just saying, like, hey, let's put a pause on playoff expansion, step away, you know, because people have different information. You know, so I think that's really where the distrust in these conversations and some of the veiled shots were coming from. But I would also say that they're going to have to work together. And again, like, I think, you know, we've seen this happen in the past when there's been, you know, really influential commissioners. Again, the Delaney-Mike Slive relationship is a prime example of this, where there is pushback and there are people fighting for their constituents and different interests, but they're working together. They're working together and against each other, but they're working together to get these things eventually done. They're fighting these things out on, you know, what does the playoff look like? You know, they're arguing about that, but they're getting stuff done, and I think that is and can be healthy for college sports. I mean, I think we all love talking about the idea of a commissioner, but, like, I don't know where that would need to stem from, where it would come to, who would cede the power. Because right now you have these Power Five commissioners. You have certain, you know, roles that are, you know, very influential, and people would have to voluntarily give up power and influence to have something like that, that then they would probably disagree with at times, right? So I don't know when or how that would actually come about. Curious just to see how this plays out. And again, you know, as the dynamic continues in the next few weeks, where you are going to have playoff conversations, you know, Bob Boldsby's going to be in there. The dynamics are just very interesting right now, but people are still having to have these meetings and having to have these calls. It doesn't just, you know, fall off the schedule. So we'll see, but, you know, I just think that people have long operated with competing interests and priorities in this space, and that's part of the reason that that balance is important, and that's kind of what I envision moving forward.
Okay, I lied. One more quick one for you. Harbaugh, 8-4, fired or no?
Well, so, you know, I guess it depends on the 8 and how the 4 look, because, you know, he's had some decent seasons, and then you get blown out by Ohio State at the end, and it sort of changes the way that you look at it. I don't know, and yeah, I'm so bad at answering this question because Joe,
so you've been asked this a few times.
Well, I was also just on a Detroit station to ask it like 10 minutes ago. So the issue for me is, like, I just don't know what happens after you've hired your white whale and it's not working. Like, I still don't know how you are the one that's able to push that person out if they don't have a landing spot or somewhere to go, because such a prominent alum, someone you so badly wanted, I just don't know how that can possibly end. Like, it's basically, for the fans, it's basically just been uncomfortable for a number of years. And, you know, you've seen the coaching staff turnover, Harbaugh take a pay cut, you know, on the base pay, and, like, all these different things have happened that are short of, you know, a head coaching change. But, like, I just don't know how you get to that point with someone who is so prominent, with someone, you know, that was your white whale. It's kind of the same situation Nebraska's in with Scott Frost, although now they can throw in the NCAA issues if they need a little cover. So I just don't know. I don't have a good answer to how you would extricate yourself from that situation. It's just, it's so uncomfortable and so messy that I have no idea how you would do it.
Who are you on with in Detroit?
Jansen.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a way better experience than that, so good. All right. I mean, you'd have to agree with that, right?
Yes.
I like John Johnson. Just kidding.
Of course.
Yes, absolutely. Nicole, as always, you're the best. Thank you so much, and it's going to be very interesting, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic.
Boy, that's a lot.
A lot of stuff going on.
Comprehend. I'm glad somebody's doing other than myself. I mean, there's no way. There's so many moving parts and all that. Crazy.
I don't know exactly where it's going, but that's what we're going to get into next.
Okay.
I'm Robbie Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road.
I won't be walking after you no more.
Is this achy, breaky heart?
Today's his birthday. Billy Ray Cyrus' birthday today, and you will give the respect that man deserves.
Hey, incredible mullet. Incredible mullet.
He's fantastic. Happy birthday, Billy Ray. Lives here in Middle Tennessee. I'm sure he's listening this morning. Just letting you know, your old friends wishing you a happy birthday.
Well, I'd like to say I'm a fan of his daughter's work.
Are you?
I am. Oh, you are not, huh? You got a problem with that?
Not at all.
Okay.
All right. I was not a Hannah Montana fan.
What about a Miley Cyrus? Because, you know, best of both worlds.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus is fine. Terrific
yep.
artist.
Was not a Hannah Montana fan because I spent a lot of money on Hannah Montana nonsense for my daughter. But Billy Ray, and there's a story I got about Billy Ray that I'm not going to tell on the radio about what a fantastic man he is, but it's a long story. I'm not going to – just take my word for it. He's a good dude.
I will take your word for it.
Okay, so happy
and that's
birthday,
a jam. Buddy. Happy birthday, Billy Ray. We're talking about college athletics. I should hit the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got some, you know, Al Bundy mentioned in the greatest sitcom character.
Yes, Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill, that's right. That's Ron throwing that out. He also has – oh, great actor who's an athlete, Merlin Olsen. Come on, Little House on the Prairie.
Fantastic, yep. He was a great, great actor.
What was the flower?
The flower?
You know, he always had the flower commercials.
FTD?
FTD.
Was that what it was?
Something like that, yeah. But no, that's a good call for sure. You've got some people, I'm not going to read them, that are like, doctors are lying to you about the vaccine because they get paid every time something like, please that's, stop with this crap.
Don't read
please
that.
Stop with this crap. What does the Alliance do to Notre Dame is a question on the text line. That's a good
question.
But they're going to be okay.
Notre Dame's going to do what Notre Dame wants to do.
Yeah, that's the answer is, like, however it works out, they're going to have a spot. Like, they'll have a seat at the table. I know that. I don't. I mean, there are people who are like, okay, this is finally it. Notre Dame finally is going to be compelled to, you know, to join a conference. And obviously, last year they, because of COVID, they did more of the ACC, but they were in the ACC. But I mean, I think they're going to stay independent, and they're going to. People are going to pay a lot of money to televise them, and they'll be in the playoff.
People lose their marbles over trying to place Notre Dame in a conference. They've done it for years. You know, they have to go to the Big Ten. Why? Well, because they're next door to Illinois and Indiana, and that's where they are.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything.
No.
They do whatever they want. So they'll figure themselves out. They will not be left out of the equation at all.
But my question for you, kind of bigger picture on all this stuff, and you know, name, image, likeness, so many different things. We've talked about the portal. Now you have this. Are you, as a, I know that you are at your core a high school sports fan, mm-hmm. and I'm with you. I mean, there aren't many better things than a high school football
Correct.
Friday night, but you love college football.
Love
you played college football.
Yep.
Are you worried about college athletics?
Not at all.
Good. Tell me why.
Not for one second, because I think it still goes back to the football game. To me, to the game. I mean, all this extracurricular things that are happening, it still goes back to the game. I mean, the game is still solid as it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, there's changes, rules, I get all that. But it's all about the game, and you're doing that for the game. You're playing for the game. Your NIL is for the game of what you're doing. So I think once you get inside the white lines and play, I think everything's fine. I'm not worried about it for one second. And these presidents can worry about the money and all this other stuff. But, I mean, on a Saturday when Ole Miss is taking on LSU – I'm not worried about that. I'm going to watch good football.
The passion is not going to go away. I mean,
Correct.
I think that the traditions get compromised a little bit with some of this stuff. You know, just some of the realignment that makes no sense geographically and things like that. I mean, Nebraska-Oklahoma, you remember, certainly.
Oh, absolutely.
Nebraska-Oklahoma was as important a game to watch every year in college football as any for mm-hmm. a long time. And intern Will, our friend in here, is a Nebraska fan, grew up his dad. And obviously, Will doesn't remember this, but he knows it, and you know it, and mm-hmm. that's just gone.
It's gone.
I mean, that you know, you take them out of the, you know, you change that up, and you just take. I hate that. I hate that.
Sure. Well, I like Texas and Texas A&M.
Well, that's one good thing about this. They're coming back now.
Yeah.
That's coming back.
I love it. It'd be like people like, wow, that, all you know, Oklahoma, I don't understand Oklahoma, Nebraska. Well, it's almost Auburn, Alabama. Imagine them never playing again. And they're like, what? That wouldn't.
Exactly.
That's Oklahoma, Nebraska.
Yeah. So that's what I hate about it. But I want to, what about name, image, likeness? What do you think about this?
Sure. I don't mind it at all. As long as they get under control. Because there are parameters, right? I mean, you can't make X amount. You can't. If you make more money, you got to pay your scholarship back. I mean, is that correct? If you make more than what your scholarship is, I thought I read that if you
that's,
you know,
I mean, that's not
you make half a million a year.
I mean, someone may have proposed that. But.
Okay, I thought, yeah. I mean, I'm not good at proposing, so I thought that was. But my thing with that is, all right, hey man, we're paying you this money, so when you get in and the camera gets on,
but we aren't. The school isn't paying.
No. Yeah. With like you know Joe's Crab Shack.
Gotcha.
Hey man, when you score a touchdown, give us the four fingers for the four finger discount deal you'll get tomorrow night. Whatever.
That's better than double middles to the Alabama fans. Like,
but is it? But is it really? That kid was from Independence High School, Galden.
I felt that. You know, he was. I was there at that game, and that was, of course, Butch was so close to being fired, but I. Yeah. I actually felt bad for him. He was great after the game. He's like, yeah, you know, I got caught. I mean, they're getting killed by Alabama. They're getting taunted.
Yeah.
He finally gets in the end zone. You know, you shouldn't do it. But
that was the game. Garantano started that game, and that's the game where they should have played the theme from MASH and had the helicopter flying because he got beat up.
Is that right? Did he start that game?
2017. He got beat up badly
in
that game.
Well,
but I
hear
mind.
What you're saying. So
you know, I don't mind.
Put a little sticker on your helmet, you know. The interesting thing is like the, you know, the schools are the apparel deals, and then a kid, you know, it's like Adidas. It's like, hey, but you're playing for Nike school. I mean, some of that stuff is
What was the BYU thing? Some company sponsored all the walk-ons?
All the walk-ons.
Fantastic.
Now, I love that too. Now, I will say the interesting thing about that is because, I mean, one thing I've been saying through all this is, look, like you still have to be in school to be a college football player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, schools still have scholar, like there's still rules.
Yeah,
you know, some people are like, oh, there's no. It's still college athletics. And some people are like, well, all the great players are going to go to Alabama and Clemson. I'm like, no, they're not, because they're not going to play.
Right.
I think a lot more kids are going to be like, I want to go be the star at this place where I am the – again, like we've talked about – like, what about Brent Stockstill when he was at MTSU with NIL? I think he would have done great in Murfreesboro,
absolutely would have.
But that BYU thing does make me think, gosh, how many schools are going to get around scholarship limitations with stuff like this now? You know what I mean? I think the counter to that, though, is that it's like at Alabama, are you sure you want to be the fifth string? You're a five-star, and you're now fifth string.
Yeah.
Is that what you want? So
yeah, I'm with you on that. And so we need somebody overseeing that with a heavy hand. Like, all right, you can't do that. You can do this. You can't do that. Can't do that. You can do this. We need somebody that's going to be on top of everything. And I'm not sure we got that.
Well, but another thing is, like, I want this to end all of the dumb cheating stuff that we're so worried about, because I don't care. I don't care if a kid gets some money because he's great at football. Now it's on. Great. Right. Let it be on the table now.
Like Eric Dickerson.
Sure. SMU. Hey, good. Texas, give them their money.
My grandma bought that car. I did. Yeah.
You know, as a college football player, you know how many great athletes peak at in the college game and don't have a chance making the NFL. Very small percentage of you. That's a chance to make money to set you up for the rest of your life. All right, we will go overboard. We're going to go back into the Titans when we come back here, and we got a ticket giveaway coming up next too here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex Road, Big Joe Dubin, Main Street, Nashville, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, and we have a giveaway. So get ready. Yesterday we had a wonderful artist that Joe unfortunately mispronounced his name. Now I want you to to see if you got Eric C., great guitarist. How do you pronounce his last name? While my guitar gently weeps, you know.
Oh yeah, Eric Clapton.
There you go. All right.
I'm thinking George Harrison for some reason. Sorry.
Well, that was for people who don't know, that was a George Harrison song on the White Album, but Clapton actually did the solo.
As a 21-year-old.
Have you ever seen the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame George Harrison induction and Prince playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps solo?
Actually, it's a tribute, not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a tribute to George Harrison after he passed away a year later. I think it was
in London. Is that right? Yeah. I always thought that was Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And if you watch that, you will fall in love with Prince, because he absolutely dominates, not intentionally, every other guitar player on that stage.
I mean,
guitar players.
I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like, I'm like, is he the greatest guitar player ever? I don't know after watching that. Like, it was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other guys with a claim to that is Eric Clapton. He will be at Bridgestone Arena Tuesday, September 21st. Got a lot of jams in that career.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy can shred. If you'd like to go check out Eric Clapton, third caller now for Eric Clapton tickets. And we, Big Joe, we're going to get back into the Titans a little bit here. I kind of broached this question, but I'm going to bring it back from earlier. We talked a lot about Bud Dupree. We didn't talk much about Julio Jones. And the question kind of is, you know, if you had to pick one of those two to live up to the massive expectations and the massive pay that comes with, you know, their place on this team, who would you pick? You feel better about Bud Dupree?
I do, because I think I like
how do
both.
You feel about Julio Jones?
I like him. They could talk about the injuries. I mean, you're going to get injured in your career as you go on down here. Holding them out, I don't need to see Julio Jones in training camp so you Titans media guys can get your jollies and it's like, hey, he was out there today and blah, blah. I don't care. What I care about, if I'm a Titans fan, is what he does on September the 12th at high noon against the Arizona Cardinals.
Can't wait for that, Joe.
I don't care what he does in practice. I don't care if he's off by himself on his cell phone. I just want to see what he does, and I think he'll be ready to go in that first – I think that
first
game.
A football guy like you, you don't value what practice means when it comes to game time.
Not what you guys see. Who knows that they're not going to the bubble and running routes together and doing things in the afternoon when the media is all gone? I would. Absolutely would. You know, you covered this for a long time. Back in the day, you could go out to practice 5-6 years ago, and you could be at practice. You could shoot whatever. I remember Jeff Fisher would let us shoot anything. He'd walk over and say, hey, guys, by the way, don't shoot this. We wouldn't shoot it. And then we'd be out there all day.
Was that the kickoff return?
On the home run throwback.
Home run throwback? Like, no, hey, what's guys? That?
But now you get 15 minutes with those. And let me tell you a quick story. Mike Mularkey, right? 2015, I'm at practice shooting video, and they one last play before they turn the cameras off. That play is the play they beat the Saints on when Mariota rolls to the right and throws back to Fasano in the end zone. Touchdown. So I showed that on the news that night. The next week, Malarkey comes to me in practice and says, hey, we're going to have to don't show some things because we saw what you had on the news. And I'm thinking, man, thank you for watching me on Channel 4. I really appreciate that.
Other than that, I loved your sportscast.
But they were worried that the Saints were watching local news, all the highlights of practice, and seeing that. And they were – that play, from what I was told, Joe Rexrode, was almost not called because I showed it on the news. That's what I was told because they were afraid
Football coaches, man.
They are. And I'm thinking if the Saints are watching my sportscast, there's something wrong. They need to get a life.
Well, to be fair, that's how things have changed though too is that, okay, well, they probably weren't watching the sportscast, but that was on the website, right? Right? Was the sportscast on the website? Was that clip on the website?
Cannot put anything from the NFL on the website. Nothing.
Practice stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Interviews?
But I could show it. Yeah, you could do that. But on the field practice stuff that we couldn't have shown.
All right.
Yeah. So They probably, if you tape the sportscast, though, it can run in your sportscast.
Yeah.
And that what you have on. And I get it, but, you know, I would just never fit Malarkey walking over and saying, hey, man, you don't mind turning the camera off and all this. And I was like, oh, my goodness. That's why there's a lot of access you don't get now for anything. Zero.
Well, it was Malarkey's last year, so it would have been 17. They worked on like a trick play, and Jason Wolf, who I worked with at the Tennessean at the time, you know, he was the Titans beat writer for us. He wrote about it, or maybe he tweeted about it. I don't know. But he put out information on the thing, but it was an open fan. But Malarkey got furious about it.
I didn't hear this.
But Wolf is like, Mike, there were like 200 people out there taking video of that with their phones. You know, like. What we're talking about an open fan practice.
That's right.
I mean, it's so.
So that was a question I had for people was like, that first game in 17, I forget who it was, but the 16 year was when they opened with the Vikings.
Yes.
They had open practice.
Adam Thielen. I'm like, who the heck is that dude? Crushing these guys.
Open practice. So if you're the Titans, so if you're Joe Rexrode and you're the GM of the Titans, do you not send like an intern up to Minnesota? You got the camera. As a fan, you could take, would you not take practice? Hell, I would. It's legal. You're a fan. Tape practice on your phone. Go back and say, hey, here's what the Vikings were doing. If you're not doing that, then you're missing the boat on that.
Well, that's what's always interesting to me on, you know, it's like we always think about football coaches in terms of like the paranoia, right?
Yes.
The signals on the sideline, all the things they do. But then, so I'm always like, so are you doing it the other side? Are you on offense too? Or are you just on defense? You
right.
know, like, do you have someone over there who's also is trying to steal the signals?
Yeah.
Or are you all just trying to, like, defend against this boogeyman who doesn't exist? I don't know. I mean, everybody would, it's just like negative recruiting. Like, no one does it themselves. We don't. But, these other coaches are negative. Like, you all negative recruit against each other.
Oh, sure they do.
Get out of here. Or even cheating. I mean, you know, if you're SEC. Like, if you let's be realistic about do some guys in the SEC get some extra stuff under the table to come to certain school over a certain other school? Come on.
Always. Right? So when I posed that question a couple of years ago, like, I would send an intern to Minnesota to tape. I get so much blowback. I would never. That's unethical. I would never. I'm thinking.
Then why are you worried about it?
Yeah, I go out and do that and have the intern shoot that entire practice and come back. And then here's what they're doing. Okay, thank you. Hey, man. That's about winning games. But then I laugh at, like, remember last year the Patriots got in trouble because they were taping something with the Bengals, had their documentary crew on.
Well, there's kind of a Belichick trend there, right?
And there's always been the rumor about they're listening into the headset at Gillette Stadium that's going on and all that. But, you know, there's smoke.
Well, that's the thing with that is it jealousy because they're so great? Because, like, Sports Illustrated, that big thing, and they talked to a lot of different teams, and obviously they were all anonymous, but they were like, when we play the Patriots, we don't throw anything in our wastebaskets at our hotel. I mean, it was like that. So is that just because, like, you know, they really think and that's really what he does? Or is that, like, they're so good that let's come up? I mean, that's what the Patriots spin on it would be.
Is it 50-50? I mean, there's part of this that's got to be true.
There's too much smoke for none of it to be true.
Like, evidently taped the walkthrough on the Rams the day before the Super Bowl 20 years ago?
Yeah. Now, granted, that ended up being a lot less than what it was initially sold to be. But, yeah. I mean, look, Tom Brady, look – like Deflategate was botched by the NFL, but it was real. I mean, Tom Brady threw his freaking phone away and I mean, they were clearly trying to get a little bit of an edge. I don't think it was a big deal. I think he should have laughed it off and said, "Great, give me whatever your stupid punishment is." It turned into this huge thing.
Yeah,
but people forget like it still was real.
It was right.
And deflating the football in weather like that. That actually is a good idea.
Yeah. So when you go back to the Julio Jones and all the, I don't care. If he's not out there for the game on that Sunday against the Cardinals, then it's like, all right, what's happening here? But there's no indication he's not going to be there, like with Bud Dupree for that first game. So all things point to that game. That's why I don't play anybody Saturday night. I don't play or against the Bears. I don't play anybody. And if you're a fan and you want to see Derrick Henry, well, Google his YouTube clip from last year. Don't expect to see them Saturday. And I know you're paying money, and I get all that, but you knew that going in.
Headline, Big Joe hates the fans. We will get more into that coming up next on Robbie and Rex on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick-to-Click brought to you by Cameron at Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. The listeners are crushing us in that. Also, hang out with us Friday for the game birthday party as we celebrate our 10-year anniversary. Big Joe, big part of that history. Our presents are going to the listeners. We will have hourly ticket giveaway starting at 6 a.m. Friday, including your chance to win tickets for Predators opening night, the Rolling Stones on October 9th, and more. You can also join us at Neighbors in Germantown from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., where you can sign up to win prizes on Preds Pride Day. Preds? I'm reading that like Preds Pride. I get it. Preds Pride Day. So come on out. I'm definitely going to be out there after the show Friday.
Me too,
hanging
Joe.
Out. You too. Nice. We'll go out there. Have a good time. Maybe we can get Big Joe to roll around there, too, hang out with us. Who knows? Who knows what kind of celebrities. I mean, Big Joe sees a different kind of celebrity at every part of Nashville once a week.
So. Well, when you are Nashville's media darling, you run into a lot of people.
That's right. No, it's amazing. Speaking of celebrities, Willie Donick.
Let's bring this up because we have the topic at 7:45. What's the segment called again?
The Choice is Yours.
All right. And so I thought a topic, best actor that was a former professional athlete. And the responses are still rolling in.
Yeah. No, we got a lot. I mean, look, man, someone brought up, and you don't think this counts, but someone on the text line driven by WellsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, brought up.
Okay.
I brought up Joe Theismann. He brought up Terry Bradshaw.
Don't count.
No, it does count. Cannonball Run. First of all, you guys, have you ever heard of Cannonball Run?
No.
Will is nodding. I'm impressed, Will. Well, Cannonball Run, man. I mean, Cannonball Run 2, that was rough. That was a little bit rough.
Sure
Tony Danza and company. But Cannonball Run, the original?
Fantastic.
Oh, man, so great. I think it counts if an athlete plays themselves in a role because you can still be terrible and awkward. That's still acting. Like, you still have to, you know, memorize lines and be in a scene. Like, what? It was like, are you sure they played themselves? They're like working on a car or something.
I thought they played them, but like Joe Klecko. Smoking the Bandit. Fantastic.
He was?
Yeah. I think maybe it's Smoking the Bandit 2.
I was going to say, when like with the elephant, and Tom DeLuise and the elephant.
When he's there, that's Cannonball Run, isn't it? Or is it Cannonball Run?
The elephant was definitely Smoking the Bandit 2.
That's right.
I mean, so, Tom DeLuise is also in Cannonball Run.
So you got a joke. But I'm talking about an actor, like somebody brought up Merlin Olsen.
Yeah, that's a great one.
To me, that's what I was going
for. That's a great call.
And then Willie
playing a totally different character. Yeah, Willie Donick. Who said great stuff with Nicole. Thank you, Willie. And he's talking, one, Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed, of course. Of course. But also, I like this one a lot. Bernie Casey, former NFL player, as UN Jefferson in Revenge of the Nerds.
Absolutely.
He runs the fraternity that they join.
That's right. Tri-Lambs.
Yes. The Tri-Lambs. Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. And Omega Mu.
That's right. They know how to party.
That is some good stuff right there.
We got. So one said like Al Bundy, like Ed O'Neill was drafted by the Steelers.
That's true.
Back years ago.
I thought that was the answer to the question of just best sitcom character, but it actually would work for both.
Oh, it would.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you knocked two birds out.
We just split an atom on this show. My gosh.
We did.
Amazing stuff. So let's get back to the Titans real quick, Joe. You are all on, like, you know, just play four stringers. Don't ever play anybody of consequence in a preseason game. That's fine. So what are you, if you are sitting in the stands, I mean, I'm going to be in the press box Saturday. My I bought Brennan. I don't know if I told you this. Brennan, you know Brennan, also a freshman, someone in his entire life I've tried to push him away from the Detroit Lions. He's got a chance to root for a competent NFL organization. He's okay. Got tickets this year, so he's going to be there in the stands.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, they've got a great deal on this fastball pass where it's cheap, and you bounce around the upper deck. You don't know where your seats are.
So now you're peddling Titans tickets.
I guess I am, yes. Well, look, I mean, it's real. It's my reality. I bought it for, you know. He and his mom are going to be watching. So if you're them, if you're me, if you're someone in the stands, what do you want to see Saturday when the Bears and Titans play in this preseason clash?
I'd like to see the defensive ends tee off on the quarterback. Because you can always do good pass rush. I mean, that's the 101 drills at practice are always fun. We always like seeing that stuff. So in a game, now you're going to get a different personnel. Different
person. Rashad Weaver.
Love to see him go off.
To continue.
Harold Landry. I'd like to see Harold Landry have 9 sacks.
So, okay with that starter play?
I don't mind. But, I mean, because I think if Rashad Weaver gets injured, you're not going 4-13. Derrick Henry gets injured in a meaningless game against the Bears, you are going 4-13.
Yeah, he's certainly not playing.
Yeah, and so I don't need to see Tannehill to Julio Jones on a
who?
Tan. Oh, God, I hate you. Tannehill. I'm gonna say it like the guy off King of the Hill. Tannehill. I'm gonna say it like that from now on.
That's fine. I like that actually.
Oh, run Tannehill. I don't need to see a 10-yard out pass to him. All right. I don't need to see that Saturday night. I'm fine with all that. Everybody gets up in arms. I mean, I don't know how you survive watching the Bucks game the other night. Thank goodness for the dude, the Molden guy, is that his name?
Yeah.
Seeing guys like that. That's fun to watch that stuff. But overall, I don't need to see Derek, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Tannehill.
There you go. Mariota. Super Mariota.
Yes.
Not Super Mariota. Well, I'm with you on the offensive skill guys you don't want to put in harm's way. I mean, if Tannehill got out there for a little bit, I'm not. I also think it's – I mean, look, Bruce Arians, whatever you think of him, he had Tom Brady out there for a while in the first preseason game. Tom Brady, he got, like, hit. You know, I mean, some people would be like, what are you doing? But, I mean, it's still – I just feel like if you're too obsessed with bubble wrapping everything, it's almost like then that's when you get the non-contact. You're walking from the locker room, you know, off the bus or something.
So if Derrick Henry blows his
knee
out –
Well, he's not going to play. I'm not saying play him.
In game one, if Derrick Henry blows his knee out, he was playing in a meaningful game. I hate that he's injured and he's out for a while.
Yes.
He was playing in a meaningful game. That's okay. You're not going to get ripped mercilessly over doing that kind of thing. So I'm fine with all that. If you get injured in week 3, you're playing in a meaningful game. This is not a meaningful game. And otherwise, to spin it is insanity.
Yeah, no, look, that's fine. I in general, agree with you. I mean, I just, like a quarterback getting a little bit of work, it doesn't bother me if that happens. And I do... Look, I mean, I think the best thing for fans who are going to this game, to me, is that you're going to watch a whole bunch of Justin Fields. That's what I told Brennan. Like, you're going to get to see Justin Fields for at least a half of this game.
Right.
I mean, Andy Dalton is QB1, which is funny, but I get it at this point. It won't be for long. Justin Fields will overtake him. But because of that, Justin Fields is going to start this game and play. And that's a great look for whoever is on the Titans defense. I mean, that's one thing Vrabel talked about at the first preseason game is, you know, in practice – The quarterbacks all have the red jerseys on. And so if there's a quarterback flush out of the pocket, he starts to run, you blow the whistle, he's okay, let's go, next play. And that, even as bad as Felipe Franks looked,
right,
he had a few where he got outside the pocket. It's like, oh, this is another element you got to deal with as a defense. So they will get that look. Whoever's out there on defense, and I think we'll see key players out there again. I think we'll see Christian Fulton. I think we'll see Elijah Molden.
Yeah.
Caleb Farley. Guys who they need to be really good this year for that defense to turn around. We've seen a lot of Rashawn Evans, Jayon Brown, David Long. Got to see Jeffrey Simmons last game. Might see some Denico Autry this game. So from a defensive perspective, I think actually this will be a good look for the Titans. And then offensively, it's who's going to be the backup quarterback, who's going to make the roster at running back,
right,
who's going to make this ridiculous receiver competition, you know. Who's going to play at receiver? That's going to be interesting.
So here, as a guy who grew up in Nashville, I think it's cool. Here's why I look at kind of an abstract way. I just think it's cool the Bears are coming to town. I know we've had football here for 20 years, but like when the Cowboys roll in here or the Packers. Growing up here, I never thought we would see an NFL team on the East Bank come to Nashville. But when these teams, so seeing an iconic NFL team – like the Bears come to town, even though it's a preseason, I still think that's very, very cool.
Well, that brings up a bit of history that I wrote about for the Tennessean. Maybe it was the Athletic. I forget.
Nice.
Maybe it was a couple years ago. I forget, actually. I think it was the Tennessean.
Michelle, erase this segment.
Yeah, yeah. But Bill Wade, so they came here. I think it was Bears-Rams played at Vanderbilt Stadium. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. In whatever year that would have been, 62 yep. or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you
coming
don't,
off an NFL championship. Bill
so
Wade.
We'll Vanderbilt talk about legend. This with our next guest, but Bill Wade's daughter lives in Franklin, and so you might remember.
I talked to his widow for this piece.
Do you remember the question? I don't know if you did, but 2 years ago when the Patriots came here, I asked Bill Belichick before Bill Wade passed away. Bill Belichick came to town and spent time with him.
I do remember that. That was great. That was a great comment from Belichick.
A minute, 45 seconds. I had a Boston reporter say, that's the longest he's ever talked.
Yeah.
The question was, why was Bill Wade so important to you? And then my dad coached him when he was here. Bill Wade was a single-wing quarterback and the knowledge. He goes, when they would come to town to play Baltimore, the Colts, we'd go to the hotel, and my dad would take me, and there's Bill Wade. And it was a fascinating deep dive inside Bill Belichick's head over a guy who was from Nashville who made a lasting impact on him. And I thought we saw a very human side of Bill Belichick, and so you're welcome for that.
Good job. No, that was. I remember that was really cool and rare, and also an example of quick, open-ended questions and get out of there. Young journalists, don't talk for 45 seconds.
Right.
Just ask a quick question and get the heck out. And believe me, as my wife will tell you, I fail many times. But we're going to talk to a guy next who always asks the right questions. And, man, does he pronounce words in an amazing, wonderful ways. Mike Organ from the Tennessean next. I'm Robbie and Rex on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.